Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf. Hayemi Maseches Temura Daf Vav. We begin six lines off the top of the Amud Vehari Gezel. So back to our Machlokes between Abaye, who teaches that the reason why one will get malchus upon transgressing a lois haseh is precisely because his act, his ma'aseh, has actually accomplished, had an effect. Yavid mahani, although he wasn't supposed to, but once he did it, it's done. And because that violation was so-called successful, he gets malchus. Whereas according to Rava, no. He hasn't really achieved his plan. So his intent does not get realized. It doesn't happen. You can't accomplish by doing something bad. You can't be successful in an avira. It has no effect. However, the malchus is on the attempt, because he attempted to do this very act and to bring about this very result. That's why there's malchus, although it wasn't really successful, it wasn't really realized. We had a long list of kashas, of situations where it seems one way or the other, which was posed as a kasha, an abaya, or a rava, and we answered all those questions with various explanations. We had the psukim that denote that these are actually exceptions to the rule. And so far we hadn't really come up with any tangible difference between Abaye and Rava. So in theory, Abaye says, Yavid Mahani, if you do it, it works. Going to Rava, Yavid Lemyan, it does not work. But they all agree to all these exceptions. Here comes another kasha, where we seem to find that a lav can be realized. It can have an effect. Yavid Mahani, from stealing. Vare Gezel, says the Gemara. What if a person robs? Rachmana Amar. Pasuk warns against that. Loi sigza, right? Do not. But Tanana, what does the Mishnah say? If one proceeds and he does rob, it becomes like his. There's an element of ownership there. He's kaina. When he transforms it and turns it into a new entity, now we have a Mishnah. Goizel Eitzim. Imagine a person steals pieces of wood, raw material, and then he fashions it into a kli. Vasan kalim. Or tsemer, wool, va'asan begadim, turn them into garments. Question. His repayment, is it based on current value? Or based on the raw material value? Mishalom kashasak zeli, pays based on the old value of the actual material. Why? Says Rashi, around 15 lines from the top, aval hakelim va'begadim, kana b'shinoi. It is, he was kind of these things with the fact that it went through a shina, he transformed the material into this new Alma Mahani. Apparently what he did is deemed somewhat successful. That's a Kashan Rava who says, no. You can't accomplish through doing an Isser. You have to do Rava. Amlach Rava. Once again, this is an exception to the rule. Shani Asin, Namakra, Shagazal. The pasuk says, "Veheishavas hagzela asher gazal." Return the gzela that he stole. Isn't that a repetition? Kemasha gazal. We learn in the same format as it was stolen, but if it was transformed into something new, it's considered like his, and he need not pay based on the current value. But according to Abaye, it would seem that even without this new pasuk, it's based on the old value because the new thing is his. Yavad Mahani, Ula Abaye, so why do we need a Pasuk? Haishur Gazal, this new Pasuk, Mibayla, is needed for something else. To teach that Al Gzeilo Sheloi Mosif Chaymesh, Yalacha is that if a fellow robbed and then he denied and he swore accordingly and then he admits, he has to add a fifth. Says Abaye, it only pertains to his personal robbery, what he stole. But it pertains to his father's stealing. So his father stole, and then the kid picked up the tab after his father's passing. So even if the Yerush, the kid, denied it and he swore, he will not add a fifth, rather only the actual principle. The idea of fifth is only on his personal experience. Next kasha. Again, a kasha on Rav from a case where it seems that Yavad Mahani, Hari Mashkin, a collateral. Okay, so Reuven lent Shimon $1,000. He defaulted on the loan, come payday, he's not paying, so he'd like to grab a mashkin, a collateral, some security, in lieu of payment. The Torah says you can't. You can't go into his house and grab a mashkin. Barei mashkin, rachmana amar. Lo yisavil beisei lavei davoitoi. Torah warns the lender from coming into the, from encroaching on the fellow's privacy and going in and grabbing a mashkin. The Mefarshim say the point is that the Torah wants to give the borrower the ability to choose what he'd like to offer as a mashkin rather than have the other fellow grab the best item in the house. In any case, not supposed to enter to grab a mashkin. We have a Mishnah which says that if he did and he has in his possession a mashkin, okay, hold on to it, but there's another requirement. You have to return the mashkin and allow the loiva to use it when necessary. Now we have a Mishnah. Machzer is a karba laila, so the mattress. He gives it back, to use at night, and he takes it back in the morning. And the plow shovel, the tractor, he gives it back by day to farm his field, and then he takes it back at night. So clearly, even though it was illegal to begin with, he shouldn't have grabbed this thing, but once he has it, he holds it. And as long as he, accommodates him for his needs. Tufta de Rava, it seems to be a Kasham Rava who says, Yavad Lai Mahani, Amlach Rava, once again, an exception to the rule. Shani Hasim, there it's different. The Pasuk says, Hashev, Tashev Lai. So Hashev Tashev is a repetition to tell you that even though he took it illegally, but you can hold on to it, you can retain it as long as you give it back to him. When he needs it. Now according to Abaye, it's unnecessary to repeat this point. Hashev Tashev. To accommodate this case, in any case, Yavad Mahani, right? Even though he took it illegally, but now that he has it, he has it. So why does the pasuk have to go repeat Hashiv Tashiv? Well, Abaye would respond, Ilav the Amar Rahman Hashiv Tashiv, not for this extra expression in the Torah. I would say, guess what? Sure, you took it illegally, now it's yours and too late. There's no point in giving it back to him at night and by day, which only pertains to a legal repossession. But here he took it illegally. It's yours. That's it. He didn't have it. It's over. I would say, Isura de Avat. Okay, once he violated, he transgressed, he grabbed the mashkin improperly. Okay, your chance is over. You did an Isur. It's finished. Iboy, if he wants, Nahadar, he can give it back. At night or whatever. Iboy, loy Nahadar. Otherwise, he doesn't have to. Kamashman comes to the puzzle and says, guess what? Even though he did an Isser by grabbing the mashkin, but that does not absolve him from accommodating the needs of Loiva, so the second element still applies even in this case. Next question, Maripeya. This is going to be a kasha on Abaye, who says that once he transgresses, Yavad Mahani, it's over. I have a kasha from Peya, very Peya. Rachman Amar, the Pasuk says, ideally leave the corner of the field for the poor man, like Sechale, don't complete, the harvest. Don't shave off the corner. What does the mission say? Ideally, pay is meant to be, left standing at the corner, unharvested. Mitzvah's peya, lavish mina kama. It's meant to be designated as kama, right, from the standing wheat. Lavish mina kama. Suppose this harvester just covered the whole field. Boom, it's gone. It's all harvested. Is it too late? No. Lavish mina amrim. Put aside some bundles. Lavish mina amrim. Forgot to do that. Yafish min akri, do it when it's already in a pile. Achalei mirchay, until it's complete. A complete, finished product, until they, smooth out the pile. Then at that stage, you can still give it as peya, And you need not take off the maaser first, because pay is exempt from maaser. It's hefker, right? But let's say mircha, once you got to the miruach, you already smoothed out the pile, it's considered grain, and it's now chayv and maaser. So you still give the peya, but maasrei v'nasanli. First you have to take off the maaser, which is your personal obligation from your entire crop, and then you give part to the ani as peya. But that's only while it's still in grain form. But once he grinds the wheat, let's say, once he turns it into dough or bread, of course, that exempts him because it's now been transformed into a new entity, a new product, and it's no longer chayiv and peya. However, Meshum Rabbi Yishmoel Amru, it was said in Rabbi Shmuel's name, it's not over. Af mafresh mina isa v'na isenlai. He says, even though it's already a dough, you still take off the peah, and even though it looks like a new product, nevertheless, it's still chayv and peah. Fine. So the question is, how far into the process is peah still active? But all agree, even Tanakama agrees that even if it's been harvested, which is a negation of the lav, they're not meant to harvest it, right? He did it. We don't say it's over. We don't say it's too far gone. Fine, he harvested it improperly. Okay, but pay is still active, it's still applicable. We don't say Ovid Mahani. It's a Gashan Abaye, who says once the transgression occurred, it's over. So he says, Abaye, Amalach Abaye, Abaye responds. Here's an exception to the rule. Shani Yasin, the Makro, it's very different because the Pasuk says, Tazav, Yisair, it says Tazav twice. Once in Pashas Kedoshim, once in Pashas Emor. Leave over for the poor. Yisair, an extra expression to tell you that even it's already in bottled form, or it's already, you're still chayv and peah. But according to Rabbah, even without this extra pasuk, the peah would still be active because i'avad amehani. So why this extra pasuk? Rabbah amaloch. Rabbah will tell you the point of the pasuk is to cover actually a different case as well. Yesh lechaziva acheres shekazu. There's another abandonment, i.e. a hefker, which is similar to this, which means that it's chayev in peah, despite the fact that it's hefker. Typically, hefker is not chayev in maaser, right, in anything, right? But here's an example of a sort of a hefker, and nevertheless, he's chayv. It's chayv and peah. So, Tazev is coming to cover that case as well. And what is that case? Ve'izoy. Is that mafker karma? A person abandons his vineyard, makes it hefker, comes back around and reacquires it, thinking he's going to shortcut the system. He's going to exempt himself from, you know, truma and maaser and peah. So the same fellow, the owner himself, he announced that his field is hefker, and comes back next morning and reacquires it. Zemafkir karmoy. And the chiddush is that in this case, don't think he shortcutted the system. You'll be chayv and the peah and all the gifts to the poor. That's what the pasuk is addressing. The son of a raisam after kama, he makes his kerem, his vineyard hefker. Vishkim al shacha gets up in the morning, ubatzri. He's back in business and he harvests his grapes, he reacquires his field. Chayv aperet. He's obligated to provide the poor with the fallen grapes, va'ilulus, and the strangely growing grapes. And the part that he forget, and the part that he has to leave over at Upatar ben Amasa. Of course, Masri is Pater, because regarding Maser, we treat it like Hefka, that's Pata, but regarding Matona Saniyim, we have a special Pasuk, Tazoiv, to cover this case as well. Omale Rav Acha Bered Rav Larvashi. So now, I don't understand. We started with this grand Machlekas Abayi, who says Yavad Mahani, Rabbi says Yavad Loi Mahani, but after we went around the corner, we circled the block many times and discovered so many halachis that seemed to contradict one position or the other. And we answered them with all kinds of terutzim, with psukim. So what's the machlokes about? They're on the same page, exactly on the same page. Now we've come up with all these solutions to all these exceptions. So then, what's the machlokes about Abayi? We don't seem to have a case which is subject to machlokes. It's either one way according to all, or the other way according to all. There's not machlokes here. It says the Gemara, here's one case. Ribis k'tzutzuk ha-miflugi. A set preconditioned interest payment. Ribis k'tzutzuk. So he lent him $1 for $1.50. That would be the machlokes. So he was over min ha-Torah for taking ribis. And the question is whether he has to return, he has to refund that ribis amount to the borrower. That would be the machlekes. Abayi will say, look, it's over. He took the money, it's yours. Rava will obligate him to refund it. He took it, yeah, but you have to give it back. It's not truly yours. You haven't really acquired it. Which is interesting because we already have a machlekes discussion back in Maseches Bava Metzia over there where we learned that halachas of ribis. We turn Rav Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan on this question. Ukad Rav Elazar, as per Rav Elazar. Then Rav Elazar says, ribis k'tzutzu yoytze b'dayan. So a bona fide ribis that had been, you know, preconditioned, prearranged, here's $1 for $1.50. So even if the malva collected it, it can be extracted from him in the bezdin b'dayan. The leiva can force him to repay it. We turn to the days. However, avak ribis, the dust of ribis, Rashi explains, it wasn't prearranged as part of a loan. It was came about through some sort of sale. He sent it to him. He sold him a field, and he made up. If you pay me now, it's $1,000. If you pay me later, it's some sort of pseudo ribis. It's a ribis derabbanon, okay, like lashon hara, navak lashon hara, right? It's sort of eino yotze b'dayon. So in this case, even if he collected it, he doesn't have to return it. So the refunding obligation is dafka by ribis min ha-Torah. By the way, avak lashon hara is also osa min ha-Torah. It's just that by ribis, avak ribis is only midrabbanan. So that's Rav Elazar shita. Okay, so ribis k'tzutza goes back, avak ribis not. Rabbi Yochanan amar, afilu ribis k'tzutza enu yotze b'dayanin. You should know that even ribis k'tzutza, absolute ribis min ha-Torah, prearranged, preconditioned, ribis will not be refunded through the bezdin. Once he got it, it is. So perhaps their machlokes is linked to our discussion today. Rabbi Elazar says that the ribis must be returned. That's in line with Rava. Yavad loy mani. You weren't supposed to take the ribis. If you took it, it's not yours. You owe it back. Rabbi Yechon goes like, Abayi, you owe it mahani. You shouldn't have done it. Once you take it, it's yours. You've achieved your intentions. Says the Gemara Amalais, he says, no. Hasan b'svara pligi. You think the machlokes over there between Rabbi Yechon is based on logic and svara? Like Abayi v'rava? No, and there are psukim there that they're sourced in. Hasan b'krei pligi. The machlokes is based on psukim. Whether or not he refunds the ribis. Damar v'itzchak, my time to Rabbi Yechon. Why is it Rabbi Yechon says ribis must not be refunded? Amakra, b'neshach nasan b'tarbis lokach. He took neshach, took tarbis. Terrible. V'chay le'ichli, he won't live. It can cost him his life. Says Rabbi Yechon, l'chayim yitam le'li shavim. We learn from there. The consequences, chas v'shalom, his life. Le'li shavim, there's no chiv to return it. It's not part of the, you know, equation. Rav Acha, Bar Adam, Rav Hachav, another pasuk for this. V'reisim alokech ani Hashem, have fear of Hashem, don't take ribbis. Torah is teaching us, L'moyer nitatev, v'loy lishavein. It was given as a way to commit yourself to Yiras Hashem. But once you got it, it's yours. It's no obligation to return it. Rav Amam Yehachav, another pasuk. Hatoeh v'sayil asa, moy suma, stam aboy. Yeah, v'hoyle ben parat, shevich dam. So it's talking about a fellow who lends with interest. Terrible, terrible. Moy suma, and pasuk over there next to it spoke about the murderer, shevich dam. Says Rabbi Yechanan, what's the connection between an interest lender and a murderer? Once it's done, it's over. It's like you take a person's life, you can't restore it. Taking his money, money's life. Look how much he invested to earn that money. He sacrificed his life, climbing on a tree and up the scaffolds, that the Gemara in the Bava Kama says. And likewise, his money can be used to buy himself sustenance, food, which becomes part of his nefesh, like the Baal Tanya writes. Hukshu mal v'ribis shevich adam, the Torah is linking, comparing a ribis lender to a murderer. It's like by a murderer. You can't restore it. Af mal v'ribis l'nitin l'shavan. Likewise, one who collects ribis, it's not meant for refunding. You can't force him to repay it. So that is Rabbi Yechanan's shita based on these three psukim. Ve'amar v'nacham, bar Yitzchak. Okay, that's good with Rabbi Yechanan. My time with Rabbi Lazar. What about Rabbi Lazar says that he must refund the money? Damakro. He's based on a different pasuk. Chayachich imach. Torah says, right, don't take ribbis, but chayachich imach. Ensure that your brother has what to live from, right? Don't grab his money. So the pasuk is telling you, look, even if it's already taken, you still have the option of returning it to him. To give him back his life, give him back his money. Adalah, give it back to him. Chayachadaneich imach. He lives with you, so he has what to live. So clearly, it's not based on logic, not based on svara, it's based on psukim. How do we, you know, which psukim we focus on? And it's not linked to Abaye v'Rava. So basically, Abaye v'Rava can go either way. They can hold like Rabbi Yechanan based on his psukim, go Rabbi Lazar based on his, right? So back to the question. So what is the tangible machlokes, the halachic machlokes between Abaye v'Rava? Velo b'mayka miflugi. Says the Gemara. Not very much. B'mayka miflugi Abaye v'Rava. B'shuni koina. Rashi learns one pshat. That, there really isn't a tangible difference. The question will be, let's say in the case of the robber, the gzela. So the shinei that he did, right? He transformed the material, turned into... Why is it his? Why is he kind of? Why is he only paying based on the raw material value, not based on the current value? Because it became his. He acquired it. So according to Rava, it's not based on a svara. If anything, svara would say the other way. An avera can't accomplish. It's just based on the pasuk. According to Abaye, it's based on svara. Yavad Mahani. So it's a question of a more theoretical question. Is it based on pasuk or based on svara? There's another pshat. B'hani shinui d'shanina. How we address all those exceptions, right? Abaye had it his way, Rabbi had it his way based on psukim. So again, it's not a tangible difference. It's just a question of how to learn all these psukim. Lishna achrina, there's another version of this discussion. So the question was, any tangible difference between Abaye and Rava? Yeah, beribus tzutza. It's a question of paying back ribbis, right? Labaye loy mahader, ribbis. There's no requirement to refund the ribbis because done is done, collected is his. Lurava mahader ribbis, going to Rava, he has to return it. Very similar to what we said before, but now the Gemara comes as a kasha. How could he even suggest that according to Abaye, there's no requirement to refund ribbis? We find that Abaye himself speaks about refunding ribbis. Va'abaye nam yisar nafkin ribbis tzutz. Abaye himself holds you can force the fellow to turn the ribbis b'dayon in the bezin. Don't Abaye, Abaye, halach ma'abaye. It's an interesting case. Okay? Reuven lent Shimon X amount of money on condition that he pays him $4 ribbis. Okay? comes payday. Reuven enters, you know, Shimon's first store, is, you know, his business. He says, I'm here to collect the ribbis. It's okay. He pulls the coat off the hook. Really, it's worth $5, but I'm going to give it to you in lieu of the four. Give you a bonus. Okay? So here's your $4 payment, but really the coat was worth five. So technically, Shimon received something, the lender received something which is really worth five, on account of the $4 ribbis obligation. So now, how much is he liable for? How much must he refund the lender, the borrower? Four, in line with the amount of ribbis that he was owed, that he collected, or five, as per the actual collection amount. A fellow has a four zuz ribbis claim on his friends. Reuven lent Shimon money, and he owes him, Shimon owes him $4 ribbis. And Shimon transferred a coat, glima, a coat, a garment in his store, the shavei chamsha, worth $5, you know, shirt, barbo, as payment for the $4 ribbis obligation. Now, when it comes time to pay back that ribbis, to refund Shimon, how much does he have to pay him back? Mafkidim mene, when we force him to repay, is it four? Is it only $4? Mafkidim mene, we force him to pay four. Vayzuz the matana, do you have lay the extra dollar was just a gift? Doesn't count as ribbis. That's rava. Sorry, that's Abaye's halacha. Okay, it's a statement. The fact Abaye holds, mafkidim mene, dal mafkidim mene, we only force him to pay back four. The extra dollar is a bonus. It's a gift. It's not classified as ribbis. V'Rava Amar, Rava says no. All five. Chamisha Mafkinim, we force him to pay back all five. My time, you know why? Kula Beteras Rebusa Us Kasiya. The fact is, he got it as ribbis, even though he wasn't owed the extra fib, but the fellow wasn't just giving gifts for no reason. He gave you a bonus ribbis. He gave part of the ribbis payment. Okay, so clearly, Abaye is relating to the halacha of refunding ribbis, and you can't say that according to Abaye, once he collects the ribbis, he keeps it. So that can't be the point of machlekes. So Abaye v'Rav, Eloki k'miflige Abaye v'Rav shenekoinus. We have to go back to what we said before. The machlekes is merely, you know, theoretical. For instance, in the case of the shinei by gzela, why is he kind of the shinei? Is because of a pasuk? That's Rav's approach. But without the pasuk, he wouldn't have accomplished. According to Abaye, he would accomplish regardless. The Yavad Man. Okay, on to a new topic. Tanu Rabbanan. So we actually mentioned this yesterday. There's a din that when a person is magdish a carbon for the Mizbeach, it must be unblemished. If one is magdish a blemished animal, he's in violation. He transgresses a pasuk, coming up in a minute, like Akrivu, which in this context means Hegdish, you can't even be magdish something which has a mum. Furthermore, says the Gemara, he can be liable for a whole series of isurim. If he's magdish and offers it on his back, there's the hegdish, there's the akrava, there's the haktar, right? Turn around, kol hashabu mum letakrivu. An animal with a mum should not be offered. Matam aleima. What does letakrivu mean? It's pertaining to the actual processing of the carbon, like the shchita. That's discussed later. In the psukim, matam aleima imblei tishchatu, to warn against shechting a carbon with a mum, I require amr lamata, discussed later on. Elamatam aleima takrivu. What's this new pasuk about takrivu? Baltag dishu. Don't even be magdishit as a carbon, and for that itself, he gets a laugh. Mikan amr. Based on this, we learn ha magdish balimum gam mizbeach. A person takes a balimum and offers it as a carbon, so he's magdishit, and he actually brings it as a carbon. He can be liable to many violations. Over mishum chamisha shemes can be liable to a whole list, a series of five violations, which are mishum bal takdishu, a the hegdish itself, umishum bal tishchatu for doing the shchita on the balmum, umishum bal dizruku for doing the sprinkling of the blood on the mizbeach on the balmum, umishum bal taktiru kula for offering the entire animal on the mizbeach, umishum bal taktiru miktzasai, another iser for doing part. In every hole there's a part, and there's an iser for the hole, an iser for the part. Umishum bal tizruku. Sorry, Mishum Rezi Bida Amru, the name of Rezi Bida is added. Another one, Af, Kabbalah Saddam, is another pasuk to forbid collecting the blood of a Balmum, and that generates another Isra. So it's either 5 or 6. Amar, let's go back and review the statement just learned. Im Bal Tishchatu Hari Amar Lamata. So although the word is takriva, which typically refers to the actual processing, the akrava, but it can't in this case, because to warn against shechting, that's discussed later on. Hechan Omer, where is that discussed later? The son, you have a bryce son, a different pasuk. Avera, soy shavar, charetzei, abeles, blind, broken, right? All these blemished animals. Le takrivu. Matam aleim, what's about le takrivu coming to teach you? Matam aleim, bal tzakdishu, is it to warn against just being magdish at the first stage? Harik varam alamala, has discussed previously in the pasuk we mentioned earlier. So what's the repetition? Matam aleim, matakrivu, bal tishchatu. So here, Batikvur means don't do Shkita. Okay, so we have one pasuk for Shkita, one pasuk for the Hekdash. Okay, let's proceed. V'ishilatitnu mehem, and don't offer it as a korban the Mizbeach, elu ishem. That relates to actually taking the material and upburning it on the Mizbeach. That generates another lav. Elu lekulan, that's perhaps only a full animal. What about part of the animal? Tamalayim mehem, even a portion. So because what about the blood on the Mizbeach? Tamalayim ala Mizbeach. And the word Lashem, L'rabois So'er HaMishtaleach. So So'er HaMishtaleach was the second goat of that pair on Yom Kippur. One was Lashem as a Karban Chatas. He used to take two identically looking goats, same height, the same look, the same price, right? They were an identical pair, and they would make a Hagrolo, a lottery, to determine which one is going to be processed as a Chatas. Which one Lazazel sent out to the desert and thrown off the hill? So the chiddush is that even the Soer Mishtalech, the one that's sent out, which is not technically being offered in the Beis Hamikdash as a carbon, this halacha, to disallow a blemished animal, applies even to this one, even to the Soer Mishtalech. So if one uses a blemished animal for that purpose, he's in violation. Asks the Gemara, hold it. So that's based on Lashem. But Lashem l'rabbisu, so Lashem in this case is inclusive, including even a Soer HaMishtaleach, which is sort of not the, it doesn't fit the perfect picture of a carbon Lashem. It's not your standard conventional carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. It's actually processed outside. So Lashem l'rabbisu, Lashem in this case is going to include a Soer HaMishtaleach. If anything, we find in the next brisa where we also have a discussion about the word Lashem, and over there, just the opposite. Hashem refers specifically to Karbanis meant for the standard track, meant to be offered in the Beis HaMikdash, as opposed to a Soer HaMishtaleach, which is processed outside. So actually, the word Lashem excludes a Soer HaMishtaleach, and here Lashem is including him. Lashem l'rabbisu, the Savatani, we have a brisa. So we speak there about the Isra of taking a carbon and shechting it outside the Beis HaMikdash, called the Shchutei Chutz, right? That's grave consequences, it's kareis. Now, what carbon does it apply to? Atanya, e carbon, if the pasuk only mentions the word carbon there, I would say Shemani, I would assume Afkot Shebedek Abayis, perhaps even an animal which was designated for the treasury, not for a carbon. He does it outside, he gets kareis. Shenema, Shnikru carbon, we find in the Torah that even that material is sometimes labeled as carbon. Kineshinem, as it says, v'anakrav is carbon Hashem. We offer the donations to the Beis Hamikdash. Even non-carbon donations are called carbon. So perhaps if he takes an animal which had been donated to the treasury and he shechts it outside, he gets curries like a carbon done outside. No, tamalim el pesach moyed. The violation is because instead of bringing it inside el moyed, he did it outside. So we learn that it only applies to that which can be brought inside, which is meant for a carbon. Haroi, one which is suitable to Pesach Hamel, to be brought for the, you know, the carbon inside the Almayit, Chayav and Olam Shvutei Chutz. In that case, if he does it outside, Chayav and Olam Shvutei Chutz. But She'ain Roi the Pesach Almayit, but carbon Bedek Abayis, which is merely a donation, it's not meant to be shechted at the entrance to the Almayit, it's not a real carbon. In a literal sense of a carbon mizbeach. So in that case, ein chayav nolam shechti chutz is not liability for shechting it outside. And Rashi explains a bit further. He says that the kachi b'edek abayis is not roi because it's not a tam. You're not meant to donate an unblemished animal for the to the treasury. It's meant to be a blemished animal, as we learned, you know, a little while ago, right? So, beginning of the Bava Min Aleph, end of yesterday's shir. So, assumingly, the carbon to the Bedek Abayis is blemished. It's not meant for Oil Mayed. So it's not royal, but it's Oil Mayed. And therefore, there's no Chiyuv Sheikh Tichutz. Fine. So that's out. What about the Paraduma? So on the one hand, it's processed in the Harazeh, some Alibes and Mekdash, but it really, technically, it's suitable for inside as well, because it's Tamim, it's not blemished. Right? The Pasuk says, Hashem Bo Mum. It's got to be unblemished. Likewise, Soir, Hamishtaleach, it's meant to be without a Mum. Right? Like we said a minute ago, it can be blemished. So if it's unblemished, technically it's suitable for the Beis HaMikdash. What if he processes them outside? There's shechit on them outside. You know, not in the right place, not in the right setting. Of course, it's meant to be shechted outside the Paraduma and the Shemesh Tech meant to be thrown off the cliff. But let's say he processes it outside the Mikdash in an inappropriate way. Rashi says he did the shechita shlech mitzvah, so not on the pile of wood the way he's supposed to, so perhaps that's in violation of Shechut Eichutz, is Kareis. Oitzani is Eilot. So certainly I've excluded the Kachi B'dek Abayis, which are presumed to be blemished. But V'lo Yaitzi, perhaps I should not exclude from the liability of Shechut Eichutz, the Paras Chatos, the Vesarim Shtalech, Shein Ru'in L'Petzach HaMoed, since they're unblemished, they're technically suitable for the Karbanis and to be, you know, for the Beis HaMikdash. So if they're done outside, maybe there's the liability of Shechut Eichutz, Tam Aloimar. Comes the pasuk Lashem. So in this case, in this context, it's going to be exclusive. It's going to be limiting. Mishim yuchad Lashem, shchut echutz is only for a standard, conventional carbon meant for the Beis HaMikdash. Yotzeilo, as opposed to these two items just mentioned, which are meant to be processed outside the Mikdash. She'ein yuchad Lashem. So we seem to have a sort of a contradiction. Where do we place the Sar Mishtaleach? Where is he on the spectrum? So on the one side, on the right, we have bona fide korbanis, chatas, v'asham, meant for the Beis HaMikdash. On the other side of the you know of the spectrum, we have the Bedek HaBayis materials, which are not meant for the. Then we have the Sar Mishtaleach sort of in the middle, straddling the you know the divider here, because on the one hand, is not unblemished, is suitable for the inside, but on the other hand, is meant to be processed outside. So is he covered by Lashem, which denotes carbon meant to be processed for Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash? Or is he not included in Lashem? Because after all, it goes through a different process, it experiences, you know, its process outside the Midrash, which isn't really the place of Lashem, it's a different type of system. So which way is it? On the one hand, we're including in terms of the Isra of a Balmum, we say no. Isra applies to Sar Mishtaleach as well. Lashem. It also has an element of Lashem. Ultimately, he's going to experience some sort of, you know, Hakrava process. But then when it comes to Shechut Eichutz, no! This doesn't qualify as Lashem. It's not a standard Karva. So which way? Says Rabbi, you're right. It's all a matter of context. It can go either way. Amarav. Ha, Samanyan the Krah. There it's based on the context of the you know the pasuk of the discussion around it. V'achom yon nekra is a verse that adds these words. It's all a matter of context. Hasam, see over there. V'al pesach ayil mayid l'rabbis. When it comes to shchut echutz, right? So the lashon v'al pesach ayil mayid seems to cover everything. Everything that's unblemished is included in the halacha of Shechut Eichutz. So once we include everything, and then the Torah comes back and says, oh, one second, Lashem, Lahitzi. It's coming to exclude, to make an exception, to disqualify the Sar Mishtaleach. So first we include everything, then we come back to Lashem, apparently it's coming to limit, to exclude. Semer Shteilech does not qualify. He's not truly, you know, Miyuchad Lashem, because he's processed outside on the cliff, right? Hach, as opposed to over here in our discussion today with the Bali Mum and the Isra to be Magdish and process the Bali Mum, Hach, the Isha Lahitzi. The Pasuk speaks about Isha. Isha is the fire, the offering on the Mizbeach. Lahitzi, that excludes the something which is not meant for the Mizbeach, like a Semer Shteilech. So then why does the Pasuk come back and say Lashem? Oh, Lashem is coming to expand, to include something which you would think would be excluded. Lashem le raboy is to cover, to include. To include what? Sar mishtalech. So it can go both ways, depending on the context. Sometimes he's in, sometimes he's out. In terms of the Isra Bal Mum, he's in. In terms of the Isra Shodechut, he's out. Ask the Gemara. So you need the special pasuk Hashem to bring the Sar Mishtalech into the fold, to disallow a Baal Mum. Now why do we need a special pasuk for that? Don't we already know that the Sar Mishtalech is part of a pair? He's meant to match his counterpart. Like we said before, he meant to designate two similar looking goats of similar status. One is going to be labeled as Lashem or Nazozo based on the, you know, the outcome of the lottery. But they both have to have potential to go either way. So of course they both have to be unblemished. Just like the Sar Lashem, which is a bona fide chatas, needs to be unblemished, likewise Lazozo. Why do we need a pasuk for this? To require Lazozo to be a unblemished animal. Time of the Khazra Kra Lashem, so it's only because of Lashem, who do Lemaisi Sam Shaleach, which this allows us to bring a balmum for Sam Shaleh. Holy Rabbi Kral Hashem, if not for the special Pasuk Hashem, I mean, I would say Sam Shaleh balmum Shaper Dami, you can use a balmum for Sam Shaleh. How could you make it? Look, Enago Kavua, okay, Veya, Elo Bedav Haroi, Lashem, Halach is that, Rashi says, it's plain logic. You can't know in advance which one's Lashem, so inevitably you have to bring two goats that are both unblemished, that can serve either way. So well, how could you even suggest bringing a balmum for a Semer Shteilech? You don't even know which one it will be. I'll bring you an example. I'll depict you a scenario where it's already known. You don't have the unknown factor, in which case there will be room to think that you can designate a balmum for a Semer Shteilech. We're going in line with Chanan HaMitzri, who holds Chanan HaMitzri, the Amar Afilu Dam Bekois. So let's say you already lottery, then you designated this one's Lashem, this one's Mishtaleach, and then you shechted Lashem, and the blood of the Lashem is sitting in the kais, ready to go, ready to be applied to Mizbeach, and then his counterpart, his teammate, died. So the Mishtaleach passed away. What happens now? Do you have to redo the whole process? No, maybe Chaver Mizavigli brings another one, a substitute for the Mishtaleach, and he pairs him up with the so now it's just one for the Mishtaleach. So I would think a Balmum works. Says the Gemara, one second, it's true that the Chana Mitzri evidently holds that there's no Dichoy taking place, there's no rejection, meaning that they don't say, well, once his teammate died, then you got to split out the blood and start again, it's one, you know, inseparable, you know, pair. You don't say that, and you can substitute for the missing one without affecting the blood. That's true. But who says you don't have to do another lottery? That you don't need a new lottery? How do you know that he holds that way? Dilma, perhaps Maisi Mago, perhaps has to bring another pair of goats. Do the Agrolo, do the lottery, determine which one's Lashem, which one's Lazazel. The one that's determined as Lazazel will pair it up with the blood, and the ones that the other one, you send them out to, you know, to get a mum and redeem him, whatever. But perhaps the lottery system is prerequisite, it's absolute. In which case, back to the question, how could you suggest to use a balmum if you're going to be part of a lottery which by definition requires two fully suitable goats that can go either way, that cannot be blemished? Ella Amar Rav Yosef, Hamani Rav Shimoni. Here's another option. Rav Shimon, Sani. Meisechad Mehem, maybe Chaver Lo Yakrola, the Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon holds, you don't need a new lottery. So in the previous case where you had already determined which one's Lashem, which one's Lashem, one dies, just get another one quickly to make up for the missing one. You don't have to do new lotteries. And after Lashem had died, He's got another one to replace him. And now it's very known that he's Lazazel. He's not going to experience a lottery. In which case, perhaps he can use a Balmum, if not for the Pasuk, disallowing it. Rava Amar, I'll give you another example. In Yisroch, it's needed as follows. He had two animals. He did the Agrola. This one's Lashem. This one's Lazazel. And now, the Lazazel, the Mishtaleach, got a Mum. That day, he got a Mum. Right then and there. Got a blemish. It ran around. It got a scratch. And he quickly has to transfer the Kedusha. So he took another goat and transferred the Kedusha on the other goat, which happens to be a Balmum as well. That's the violation. That's what he did wrong. He took a replacement, a Balmum. What was he trying to accomplish? I don't know. The first one was already a Balmum. In any case, that's what he did. Turn to the next time. Sakadaitachamina would perhaps venture to think, Bishlemi Karlayadina. Yeah, initially, before you start the process, before you make the lottery, I'm not sure which one will be Lashem, which one Lazazel. So I can't take my, I have to have them both fully suitable and unblemished. Layadina and Ihaimik Velashem. Ihaimik Velashem, I'm not sure which one. This one will be Lashem. This one will be determined Lashem. So both have to be suitable. Avalach, but in this case, you ready? Identify the Lashem. You're just looking to replace Lazazel. Avalach, even the Inker Shem, you've already identified the Shem. You're just replacing the Lazazel, and you did it with a Balmum. No. Loi Laki, perhaps there's no Malkus. Kamash, Malon comes to Pasuk Lashem. Don't do that. Don't you dare. So even though he's merely a Sarmish Taleach, without any potential to being of being a Lashem, the fact is he's being Magdish, a Balmum, Sarmish Taleach. It's Aser. Just like any other carbon. And there's Malkus. Okay, let's recap today's daf. We had some questions on Abaye and Rava from Gezel, from Mashkein, from Peya. Turns out that all agree that sometimes it goes one way, sometimes the other. Avad Mahani, Avad Leimani. So what is the Machlekes? We thought maybe regarding the obligation to refund ribbis, well, that didn't really work out. That's based on the psukim there. It's not based on the hour discussion. Turns out that it's just really an academic, theoretical machlokes, but ultimately, in terms of the practical halacha, we're all on the same page. Then we shifted over to the Isra of Imagdish and Imakar Balmum, which can carry a series of five or six violations, and that it covers even Sarah Mishtaleach. All the best to you. That's Lachor Rabbah.